The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Well, what a great day this is for us to celebrate Mother's Day. I know it's going to be difficult for some because of the quarantine and social distancing. Some of you probably are not able to visit your mothers, but I would encourage you to make contact with her in some way if possible. This is a great day to honor our mothers. The American version of Mother's Day was created by Ann Jarvis in 1908, and it became a national holiday in 1914. The interesting thing about it is that it became so commercialized so quickly that Ann Jarvis spent the rest of her life trying to get it removed from the national holiday calendar. She did not like the fact that it became so commercialized. And we recognize that, you know, here in the United States, many of our holidays become very commercialized. It's just part of what happens in our society. So although it is very commercialized, the best thing you can do for your mother is to give her a call. I guess this is the number one day of phone calls, the busiest day throughout the year of phone calls. There's about 122.5 million phone calls that go out to mothers during this season. So make contact, tell your mother you love her. As commercialized as it's become, it's still a great opportunity to honor your mother. A teacher, a second grade teacher, was teaching her students about magnets, and she showed them all the wonderful things that magnets can do and how it picks up things and the different things you could do with magnets. And the next day when they came in, she gave them a pop quiz, and she said, she asked them to write down this, in response to this, she said, "My full name has six letters and it begins with M." Half of her class said magnet. The other half said mother. Mother picks up things. And that's in our society, or in most homes, I would guess, that's probably the way things pan out. You know, when we have our grandsons come over on the weekends, usually they spend the night with us, and we have learned that no matter how many times we tell them to pick up everything after taking a shower out of the bathroom, we always go in the bathroom, and there's always a towel and always clothes. Marshall, Owen, go pick up your stuff. We're trying to teach them to pick it up rather than Graham and Pat pick it up. But we do have this culture where moms pick up a lot of things and pick up things in people's lives as well. And I think that that's really important that we recognize today that we're going to honor our mothers. The first thing that I'd like to say is that when I think of mothers, there's three things that I think of. First of all is honor. Ephesians 6:2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Today is a great opportunity to honor our mothers, to remember our mothers. Remember all the things that they do for us and have done for us in the past. I read a story about a stay-at-home mom who went to a PTA meeting, and while she was gone, dad and her teenage daughter cleaned up the kitchen. They scoured everything, cleaned it up. It was spotless. And when she came back, she just walked in, went into the living room, turned on the TV, and sat down. And dad sat there and looked at her for a minute, and he said, "Dear, did you notice that we cleaned up the kitchen?" She said, "Yes." He said, "Well, aren't you going to say anything about it? Aren't you going to thank us for cleaning up the kitchen for you?" She said, "Why should I? It's a thankless job." How many times have they thanked her for cleaning up the kitchen, fixing the meals, doing the regular chores around the house that she has done. It's really important that we recognize our mothers today and be thankful for everything that they do for us. Don't forget today to appreciate and honor your mother. But not just today, every day. Here's a little quote that I just picked up. It's unknown. I don't know who gave it. Mothers hold their children's hands for a short while, but their hearts forever. How true it is. However, today, for some of you, may not be a day that you look forward to, or that you even had a kind of relationship with your mother that you would feel like you could honor her. I want to talk to you briefly right now about that, because I believe God can heal it. A man was in a store not too long ago, and he was getting groceries, and he noticed that this elderly woman was watching him. And he kept walking around. She was kind of following him. Well, when he got up to the checkout counter, the lady stepped up in front of him and started talking to him. And she said, "You know, I know that you noticed that I was staring at you, but I'm sorry, you look so much like my son. And I haven't seen my son for a very, very long time." And they conversed for a little bit, standing there in line. And finally she said, "You know, I miss my son so much. Would you mind, when I walk out the door, would you please say goodbye, Mom? It would mean so much to me." And the guy said, "Yeah, sure, I can do that." And he got a little distracted after that, looking around, looking in magazines, you know, things you do when you're standing in the checkout line. And the elderly lady checked through, and she was going out, and he noticed she was going out, and he said, "Bye, Mom." And she turned around and said, "Bye, son," with a great big smile. He felt good. He really encouraged this lady. When he got up to the checkout counter, he had a few items, and he ran them through, and the clerk said, "That'll be $135. And he said, "What? I just got a few items. How can it be $135? She said, "Well, your mother said that you would pay for hers." Ooh, you get. Now, the reason I say that is that some of you probably feel that you've been taken advantage of by your mother, or you didn't have the kind of relationship you wanted with your mother. God wants to heal that today. I believe God wants to deal with any unforgiveness that you might have. He wants to heal the emotional scars that have been inflicted on you. And I recognize that some of the issues that you have in your life are reality of how you were treated, and the unforgiveness maybe because someone, a mother, did not treat you the way you should have been treated. But I want you to know this. Your Heavenly Father wants to heal that pain in your life today. In fact, what I'd like to do is I'd like to pray for you right now. If you please bow your head. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're touching the hearts of people today. Maybe they didn't have the best relationship with their mother in order to honor her today, but you are an awesome and powerful God. And Father, today, the blood of Jesus pays the bill for forgiveness for those who have some issues with their mother. And today I ask that you, Father God, would heal and help them, each person who's listening to this message, be able to receive and recognize that no matter what their mother has done, that they can honor them for being their mother. Thank you, Lord. When I think of mother, the second thing is influence. In Hebrews 11:23, it says, "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command." This is a brief description of what was going on in Moses' life when he was first born. But the reason that I use this scripture is because I believe that Moses' mother was a mother of spiritual influence in Moses' life. During that period of time, we know that Moses was placed in a basket, and the princess of Egypt rescued him, and he was raised in a palace. But before he was actually raised in a palace, he was sent back to his birth mother, and she nursed him. And during that period of time, children were nursed sometimes four years old and even longer. So she had a great deal, a profound influence on the life of Moses. I'm sure she told him the Hebrew stories of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and Joseph and all the great patriarchs. She instilled within him some principles that eventually stirred his heart toward the Hebrew people and caused him to be the deliverer of the Hebrews. God had a plan, but he used his mother to help instill that plan in him. Because of her great faith and influence, his mother caused him to rise up and be a great deliverer of the Hebrews. Also in the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, when I call to remembrance, Paul is talking to Timothy, the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, I am persuaded is in you also. Here we see another young man who was greatly influenced by not only his mother, but his grandmother. His mother and his grandmother were Jews. They were Hebrews. Timothy's father was most likely a Greek. But his mother had this great influence on him. And Timothy became a powerful man of God. He was such a powerful man of God that Paul chose him to go with him as they evangelized throughout the whole region. And Timothy was faithful to follow for Paul and learn from Paul. And it's actually the scripture that we use quite often, Paul in 2 Timothy. Paul is giving to Timothy, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He's encouraging Timothy to be strong and faithful in the word. Timothy's mother and his grandmother instilled, had great influence on him. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This principle is so powerful. It's so important. This scripture doesn't say that you train your child in the way they should go, and they're going to serve Jesus Christ. It says that they're not going to stray far from the word. My wife Tammy just gave a testimony of how her parents, who were raised in Christian homes but did not necessarily make a commitment to Jesus Christ until later in life, but because of the influence from their families, they conducted their lives in a certain way that was consistent with the Bible and the Word of God. That's what the scripture is telling us, that not everybody is going to receive Christ as a personal Savior, but the whole society is going to be impacted when we influence our children toward a godly life and we instill biblical principles in their life. We're seeing the breakdown of our society because we have moved far away from these principles that I'm talking about this morning, training up your children in the way they should go. But there's hope. Because Jesus is still alive. He and well, he came back to life on the third day, and he's living right now at the right hand of the Father, and he's going to come back. But we can set our course to serve him and to train and teach our children. Mothers, I want to say to you this morning, you have a great responsibility. Influence your children toward greatness in Jesus Christ. I think it's a great privilege and responsibility for all of you to be a mother. You have the opportunity to influence the next generation or generations to come. Raising your children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord is a powerful responsibility, and it will change the course of society. William Ross Wallace wrote a poem, and in that poem he said, "The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world." I do believe that. Mothers have great and profound influence. Timothy was one of those young men who who was greatly influenced by his mother, and not only his mother, but his grandmother. Abraham Lincoln said this about his mother: "I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life." One of the great mothers in history, and particularly Christian history, is Susanna Wesley, who raised John and Charles Wesley, two men who had a profound impact on society in regards to preaching the gospel, part of the great First Great Awakening. Of course, John Wesley established a Methodist organization, a Methodist church, and they were very powerful men. But Susanna Wesley had 19 children. She raised 10. 9 of those children passed away. But she raised 10 children. And Susanna made it a rule that every week she would spend at least 1 hour a day with each of her children. Now, not each day she'd spend 1 hour with each of them, but each week she would have 1 hour that she would spend with each child. An incredible task. She made that child feel special, loved. And at the same time, she was teaching and training her children in not only the Word of God, but she was educating them. She started educating them at 5 years old. She would use the Bible, memory verses, and other means of educating her children. Later in life, John Wesley would say, "I learned more about Christianity from my mother than from all the theologians in England." That's very consistent with an old Spanish proverb that says this: an ounce of mother is worth a ton of priest. And amen to that. Mothers, you do have a profound influence on your children. When I think of mothers, I think of sacrifice. Ephesians 5:2, "And walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself for us as an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma." A mother is a person who sees things that need to be done and influences her children. Teneva Jordan said this: "A mother is a person who, seeing there is only 4 pieces of pie for 5 people, promptly announces she never did care for pie." I can identify with that with my mother. My mother always put up her children first. She always puts her grandchildren first. In fact, even today, I call my mom's house Mom's Mart, because anytime we run out of anything, we can always go to Mom's Mart and get it. Yesterday, Tammy was making a pasta salad. She ran out of ranch dressing. Guess where I went? I went to Mom's Mart, and I got ranch dressing. I can always count on Mom having what we need. She's prepared. But not only that, half of her grocery bill when she goes to the grocery store is junk and items that her children and grandchildren love. Every morning, I go over to my mom's house to check on her and spend some time with her. And I sit down, I have a cup of coffee, which normally when I walk in, she pours it for me, brings it over, sets it down. I get a honey bun that she bought specifically for me. I warm it up in the microwave and I sit there and I talk to my mom. We have a conversation. You know, I don't know how many more years that's going to last. She's 83 years old. Someday, I'm going to have to buy my own honey buns. But I'm always going to have those memories. And it's not only me. She buys things for the grandkids. They all know when they come to Grandma's house, Grandma Carol, that's what everyone calls her. When they come to Grandma Carol's house, they are going to have exactly what they want, because she buys something special for each and every one of them. She sacrifices to do that. She doesn't have a great income, but she makes sure everybody has what they want because she is willing to sacrifice for her children. I know this: true love is bound up in sacrifice. I know that for sure. Jesus sacrificed for us. And that's true love. I want to read this as I wrap things up this morning. Kind of a short message, but I'm sure everyone wants to get on with their day. And I'd like to read this little thing that I picked up off the internet that someone said that it circulated for a while, but I think it's really profound and I want to share it with you. It starts out like this. This is for all the mothers who sat up all night with sick toddlers in their arms, wiping up barf full of Oscar Mayer wieners and cherry Kool-Aid, saying, "It's okay, honey, mommy's here." This is for all the mothers who show up at work with spit up in their hair and milk stains on their blouses and diapers in their purse. This is for all the mothers who froze their buns off on metal chairs or bleachers at football games or soccer games so that when their kids asked, "Did you see me?" they could say, "Of course, I wouldn't have missed it for the world." This is for all the mothers who sat down with their children and explained all about making babies, and for all the mothers who wanted to but just couldn't do it. This is for all the mothers who read their children's favorite Bible story twice every night for 2 years. And then they read it again because they heard, "Just one more time, mommy." This is for all the mothers who taught their children to tie their shoelaces before they started school. And all the mothers who decided to opt for Velcro because it's just so much easier. This is for all the mothers whose heads turn automatically when a little voice calls, "Mommy," in a crowd, even though they know their children are at home or they've been out of the house for years. This is for all the mothers whose children have gone astray, who can't find the words to reach them. This is for all the mothers who bite their lips sometimes until they bleed when their children want to color their hair green or blue or purple or yellow or cut it a certain way. This is for all the mothers who give birth to babies they'll never see. And for all the mothers who took those babies and gave them wonderful homes. This is for all the mothers who put pinwheels and teddy bears on their children's graves. This is for all the mothers of children who have severe limitations, whose freedom has been greatly limited in their life because they cherished their child and they decided to serve their child their whole life. This is for working mothers, stay-at-home mothers, single mothers, and married mothers, mothers with money and mothers without. This is for all of you. So hang in there. You're doing a great job. Keep it up, Mom. God bless. Have a wonderful Mother's Day. And remember, love never fails.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message, because our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.